Hey everyone, it's Adam Hoge. Just thought you should know before we dive into this week's episode of Intentional Grounding that right after we got done recording it, the Bears announced that they put Martellus Bennett on season-ending injured reserve. So he will not play in the Bears' last four games of the season. Like I said, this news came out right after we got done recording this episode, so you will not hear us discussing it. But you may remember that Martellus was dealing with a ribs injury, missed last week's game against the Packers, came back to play the 49ers, and got hurt in the middle of that game. It looked like he landed on those ribs and re-aggravated that injury. So the Bears have made the decision to put him on season-ending IR, and I think it's fair to wonder if he's played his last game with the Chicago Bears. He's still under contract for one more season, but you remember he held out for a little bit in the offseason before returning for the mandatory portion last summer. So that'll be something we certainly discuss in the future. Unfortunately, it did not make this week's episode, but plenty to discuss with the loss to the 49ers. Surprising loss, and a loss that pretty much knocks the Bears out of the playoffs. And does it affect the Kevin White situation at all? We discussed all that and more. So please enjoy episode 19 of Intentional Grounding.
Blue 20!
It's Intentional Grounding. Chicago's best Bears breakdown and analysis.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
Now, they are WGN Radio's very own Adam Hoge and the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
Welcome into episode 19 of Intentional Grounding. Back in the studio for the first time in maybe since the preseason, I don't know. But Adam Johns is not in the studio. He's in his own little basement cave.
In my basement for once.
I know.
Different venue. Got the TV on.
A little bit warmer in your basement. I was there earlier today setting you up.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
Mine's a little bit darker and colder.
You need a hoodie and a jacket in your basement.
Yeah.
Gotta work on that heating issue.
Well, I got the space heaters. We work it out. It's a little bit older of a home, I think. All right. Well, we're back in studio this week, or at least I am. And it's the same exact show as always, though. It's episode 19 of Intentional Grounding. Adam Hoge, Adam Johns here. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can submit questions for the podcast there. We will answer them at the tail end of every episode, as we usually do. Find us at WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com, and on iTunes, search Intentional Grounding to find the podcast there. And please subscribe if you haven't already. If you like the podcast, leave us a review, rate it. We appreciate you doing that. And we're on SoundCloud as well. It's SoundCloud.com/WGNRadioSports. I get to see our producer, Mike Jacobson's lovely face today. That's a bonus as well. All right, Adam.
The Wizard.
Yeah, the Wizard. We just came up with his nickname like 5 seconds ago, right before we started. Adam, what the heck happened at Soldier Field on Sunday?
Oh man. Kind of an atrocious loss, wasn't it? I don't even know where to begin. I mean, you could point at Robbie Gould, Adrian Amos, Jay Cutler had a bad day. I mean, these were the 49ers. They are a bad, bad football team. Look, I know they played well a week earlier against the Cardinals, arguably one of the best teams in the league, but this is a game that the Bears, with their faint playoff hopes, had to have. And I don't know if they're reading us too much, listening to us too much, or just, you know, singing their own praises too much. But it was just a big letdown at Soldier Field on Sunday.
Well, I find it funny, and this applies for all sports, not just football, but maybe it's a little bit more important in the NFL when every game matters as much as it does because there's only 16 of them. But you hear guys talk all the time about how every game's the same. You got to treat every game the same, approach it the same way, and it's true that that probably results in more success when you do that. But then all of a sudden, we talked about it last week right here, Adam, the reaction after the win over the Packers, you could tell that they did not treat that the same as all the other games.
No.
Clearly, they took that personally. The idea that they were requested to be the opponent on Brett Favre night, that they had that ceremony, that they had lost so many times to the Packers, and that got them jacked up to go on the road and win that game. And so I clearly think that what happened Sunday against the 49ers was a letdown game. It had to be.
You know, I get the message. I mean, Mark Trestman had the same message, though, you know, and it's just, It's not true. It's just it's human nature to get up for different games. I mean, you're telling me the Redskins and the Cowboys weren't ready to go at each other, you know, Monday night more so than any other game. I mean, certain games carry more significance for various reasons. I mean, lay out all the different reasons for the Packers game. Brett Favre night, you know, Aaron Rodgers talking trash, at least in the Bears' minds, you know, after the week one victory, you know, it being a division game on the road, you know, primetime television. This game, without all those factors, yeah, it did set them up for a letdown game, and they let everybody down at Soldier Field, I would say.
This is one of those games where I just felt like the entire time that, well, let me put it this way, I did not think they were going to lose until that ball was in the air and about to land in Torrey Smith's hands. I mean, I really just was like, all right, the Bears are sleepwalking through this thing, but they're going to pull it out because the 49ers aren't very good, and it just, they just let them hang around for way too long, and then they made the key mistakes late, the Bears, that is, and lost the game. But there were so many opportunities, Adam, early in this football game for the Bears to run away with it. You look at the trick punt return that should have been a touchdown. There's two mistakes there after looking the tape. First of all, Leroy Reynolds, you can't hold, but at the same time, if Bryce Callahan cuts back inside and does, or cuts back, I guess, technically to the outside, but stays to Leroy Reynolds' left and stays along the sideline, then Reynolds would not have been in position to hold and he would have been gone. It would have been a touchdown. So there's points off the scoreboard. There were a couple misses by Jay Cutler. He had Josh Bellamy, but held onto the ball a little bit too long, and by the time the ball got to the end zone, it was broken up by the cornerback when Bellamy was open. He had a step. And then later in the game, Cutler also missed Alshon Jeffrey, who had a step. So there's three touchdowns right there that could have been on the scoreboard. And really, there's no question in my mind that this game should have gone the way that you and I thought when we predicted last week on this podcast that the Bears would win. I think I had them winning by 14 points.
Yeah, you know, the red zone struggles continued. I mean, even if, look, the Bryce Callahan play, I get your point. You know, I remember remarking to myself, I'm like, where is he running? Because he was like running at 49ers at one point, then cut it back and was able to make it to the end zone. But you're right, if you watch the play, I mean, Leroy Reynolds seemed to be caught off guard when he made that cut back to the inside of the field and actually grabbed the guy's arm. I thought Jay Cutler, the game really changed, especially early on, the complexion of it. When he threw that pick six to Jimmy Ward, I mean, the Bears had settled for two field goals at that point. The defense had consecutive three and outs. And that pick six, heck of a play by Jimmy Ward. But the 49ers, in their preparations, their film study, and just Navarro Bowman recognizing the situation and what defense they were in and what Jay Cutler likes to do and plays like that, I mean, they call it out. They are ready for it. I mean, Jimmy Ward had to gamble just a little bit, I would say. And then once he made that play, I mean, I thought the Bears right then and there were in for a long day. It just wasn't going to go their way for whatever reason. Jay Cutler looked off. Heck of a play by the 49ers. But you're right. Blown opportunities, missed opportunities, whatever you want to call them, continue to really plague the Bears. And for a team that wants to be in the playoff conversation, they really have such a slim margin for error this season, considering maybe their talent deficiencies and just being in a first-year learning process under Gase and Fangio. Their margin for error is so thin, and once you start turning the ball over like that, missing your red zone opportunities, you're setting yourself up for failure.
All right, well, let's dive into our weekly recognitions.
Player of the game.
For me, Adam, it was Eddie Goldman, the rookie defensive tackle, graded out the highest. I also thought Matt Slauson played very well in this football game. But Goldman was very active in the middle, collapsed the pocket, pretty much dominated against the 49ers center throughout the game. And it was encouraging because I think he's had some ups, he's had some downs. This season, mostly good. And Jarvis Jenkins talked about this a little bit yesterday at Hallis Hall, discussing the rookie wall. And it's clear that Eddie Goldman has not hit that wall yet.
A very good player. Very good player. My player of the game, I have to give it to Blaine Gabbert. You know, he was awful. Let's be honest. He was awful at points in that game. But he made the two biggest plays. Now, I could say you could point at Adrian Amos for missing the tackle. You could point at Adrian Amos and Tracy Porter for their miscommunication and 71-yard touchdown to Torrey Smith. But he still made the plays. He still made the throw after having so many overthrows earlier in the game. And he still kept running, knowing that, for whatever reason, you know, that the Bears were going to be, you know, hesitant to hit him, that he had, you know, he just went for it. Got to give him credit. He went for the touchdown on his 44-yard run. And those plays absolutely killed the Bears. The 44-yard run in particular was just a horrendous play. You can't let that happen. Straight down the middle of your defense, it's just unacceptable. It's hard to give it to a guy who looks so bad in the game. And then you make a great point on Eddie Goldman. I thought Willie Young was good. I thought Will Sutton showed up in points. I thought the defense overall was great, except for those two plays where Blaine freaking Gabbert destroyed them.
Well, and I was just surprised that there wasn't a bigger adjustment made by the Bears' defense. I mean, to me, that was the biggest shock from Sunday for me, was that Blaine Gabbert, all people, figured out Vic Fangio. And it's like, I thought for sure Fangio would have the 49ers figured out. I predicted, my bold prediction was that they wouldn't allow a touchdown. The Bears would not allow a touchdown in this football game. At least the Bears' defense wouldn't. They ended up allowing three. There was no adjustment. There was too many soft spots in the middle of that defense. That was what was very surprising to me.
Worst player on the field.
To me, I thought Josh Bellamy really struggled in this football game. I'm actually willing to give him a little bit of a break for not blocking Jimmy Ward on the pick six.
Really? Really?
Well,
it's his assignment.
Well, a little bit of a break, a little bit of an understanding, because as you also pointed out, Ward took a gamble and jumped on that. And as soon as he did that, that made the block a lot harder to get over there in time. Now, you're right, it's still his assignment, so I docked him for it. And he needs to find, as I wrote in my column today, or I guess it was yesterday when it came out, my week 13 rewind column, you got to find a way to get in the middle of, somehow. You have to get in the way of Ward from that football, not allow him to get there. The biggest issues I had, though, with him, he had a holding penalty on a short pass to Martellus Bennett. He also had a very silly low blocking penalty on a 49ers kick return with 3:39 left in the game. That gave the 49ers really good field position on what ended up being the game-tying touchdown drive when Blaine Gabbert ran for 44 yards on that touchdown run. Why are you low blocking when they're the ones returning the football? That makes no sense to me. That just can't happen. So there were some mistakes there that basically I thought the Bears missed Marquise Wilson in this game.
Yeah, how about that? You mm-hmm. know, for as much as Marquise Wilson, we talked about him a lot on this podcast, you know, over the past, I mean, since week one, right? He's had some ups and downs. He was great against the Chiefs, you know, good against the Raiders, I believe. He had another good game against them. And then you see what he's being replaced with. I mean, they definitely missed him. Just in that, you know, that Jimmy Ward pick six. I mean, Josh Bellamy's usually not in that situation. It's usually Alshon Jeffrey, Marquise Wilson, and Mark Mariani. Mark Mariani is the better blocker of the two, and he got to his assignment almost immediately. Yes, Jimmy Ward, you know, kind of jumped the gun on the play, but, I mean, Bellamy looked a little tentative in what to do in that situation. For me, I'm kind of torn in who to pick here. Maybe Adam, hear me out. Robbie Gould, of course, you got to point him out because he missed the game-winning field goal. Now, the Bears were lucky to be in that position because of Deontay Thompson's 74-yard kickoff return, and that's a field goal that Robbie Gould has to make, absolutely has to make. But then there's Adrian Amos missing that tackle, you know, less than 2 minutes earlier on Blaine Gabbert, you know, to prevent him from scoring. I mean, that's an egregious mistake, in my opinion. And then Amos again, you know, Tracy Porter, whatever that miscommunication was, and overtime.
Well,
so that
it was Amos.
Out.
I mean,
he's got to carry the seam.
I guess if you're going to believe Tracy Porter, but I think you have to. I don't think Tracy Porter would just be throwing a rookie under the bus. Porter was basically the only one in the locker room after the game that would really explain what happened, and it took some good questioning from reporters to kind of get it out. But basically said that Amos was supposed to follow Torrey Smith down the sideline, and they both jumped the underneath route, and so that's why he was wide open.
based on, you know, what the 49ers were doing earlier, too. They kind of set them up for it. You know, if you listen to and read some of the quotes from the 49ers afterward, they had a feeling that that play would be open, seeing how they went underneath all game and that the Bears were kind of sitting on those routes. So they thought they got him in cover three. It's going to be a tough play for Amos to make there anyway. But they thought they had the route right combination. The other player I want to point out is Jay Cutler, and he's going through a lot in his life right now. Just had a baby with Kristen Cavallari. His brother-in-law is missing. And he had a really, you know, you want to take that stuff into consideration. I know he didn't really want to comment on it, you know, after the game, but he had a pretty unimpressive showing, very inefficient showing, if you want to look at him in the greater context of the season, against the 49ers. And I know the 49ers defense has been playing better. They were really good against Carson Palmer a week earlier, but I think you expected better out of Jay Cutler on Sunday.
Yeah, I think those are all very worthy or unworthy candidates for the designation. Guys who struggled on Sunday, there was no question. There was a lot of them, but all those players you mentioned should be in the conversation.
Biggest answer.
My biggest answer was that my concern from last week about the offense was completely 100% validated. I found it very interesting that Jay Cutler was so hard on the offense after the game, just in terms of how he described it, after the game in Green Bay, I should say. And I thought it was very accurate of him, too. But the reality was that they did not play that well, despite beating the Packers. And that was my biggest concern last week when we talked about our concerns. And it coming into this game against the 49ers, it just continued. And it's really been the theme of the season for me. Not finishing drives, missed opportunities, just really not being in rhythm, not having everything clicking. It always seems like there's one player missing or one part of every play. It's always a small detail, and they just haven't been able to get those wrinkles worked out.
Right, they seem out of sorts. You know, they're struggling to get aligned in the right way. You're right. You know, they wait to the last second to snap the ball. I know they want to do that to read the defense, but they still looked unprepared. You know, and they don't really fire up the ball. I get your point. And this has really been, you know, Adam Gase, you know, is routinely mentioned as a head coaching candidate, and I think he deserves it. I think he's done a pretty good job with what he's been given, but something is just not right with that offense. And, you know, you look at like Robbie Gould. He's attempted 31 field goals this year. It's like his most in, I forget how many years, but a handful of years, right? It's because the Bears have been so bad once they get into, you know, the red zone. Scaring, you know, within scoring distance. It's just, it's a lot of different things. There's a lot of penalties, you know. My biggest thing coming out of this game is just the penalties. They just keep shooting themselves in the foot. They have 32 holding penalties, offensive holding penalties this year, the most in the NFL. When Matt Forte breaks a 26-yard run, there's two guys that get called for holding. You know, it's just it's unfortunate. Maybe it speaks to a lack of, you know, whether it's fundamentals or just being not as talented as the player you're going up against. I don't know. I'm sure there's all sorts of different reasons, but the penalty situation that the Bears always put themselves in, other than that Broncos game, it's just really disconcerting for a team that, again, has such a slim margin for error.
And I agree that that's been it's sort of like the offense struggling in Green Bay.
Well, it's all part of it.
The penalties were an issue too. So I agree that those were both things that stuck out yesterday.
Biggest concern.
Well, we kind of, our answers were kind of concerns this week too. But I guess it's just how they bounce back this week, which, considering how this team has been, maybe mentally, it's almost like they need something to get up for. I found it interesting yesterday, Adam, Kyle Long talking about this and sort of admitting that, you know, they've been getting up for road games a little bit more, trying to explain their 1-5 home record, and they're 4-2 on the road. And he talked about how that this team has really embraced the idea of being road warriors and getting up for those games, and it's us against the entire building. And for whatever reason, that has not been the same case at home in terms of getting up and being ready to go. And I think that that has shown. So here you go. You have another home game this week. So in terms of biggest concern is, can they get themselves ready to go, whatever they need mentally to get up for the game that has been lacking in the other home games, get it going and get a fast start. I mean, this is not, we'll get into this a little bit deeper when we break down the game against Washington, but this is not a good team. This is another team that they should beat at home.
You know, Pat Boyle asked me about the, if there was any reason I could point to for the Bears' struggles at home, you know, this season, because what are they? They're 1-5, you know, and I tried, you know, it was kind of a spur-of-the-moment answer in Comcast Sportsnet. I think some of it has to do with who they played, the Packers and the Cardinals within their first 3 weeks, when the Bears clearly weren't. They're still finding themselves, right? And then you have the Broncos, one of the best teams that come in. They kind of blow it against the Vikings, but the Vikings are one of the better teams. And you have this game. So maybe it's the opponents, but they're still not playing particularly well. This game against, I mean, on Sunday was particularly disappointing. I just think back, you know, when I did the Hawks beat, the Hawks were struggling at home, right? Like, pretty bad. They were just awful at home and just great on the road. And Coach Joel Quenneville, Q, had them stay at a hotel, and he started getting them in a routine of, like, being on the road again but at home, you know. And I know the Bears stayed at a team hotel before the games and all that stuff, but I don't know if, you know, John Fox can do something to maybe shake up their mindset or something like that to bring their road warrior mentality, you know, to Soldier Field. But, you know, because it's – you can't be 1-5 at home. And I know they played against good opponents, but you're supposed to have some type of home field advantage, aren't you? You know, and
yeah. Didn't the crowd seem sleepy to you?
Yeah, I was going to mention that. I remember sitting there in the press box, and they have, you know, the pump-up boards. You know, they had Pernell McPhee there on the board, you know, all that pre-recorded stuff they show on the Jumbotrons. And, you know, get loud, all that stuff. And you look in the stands, and the people are, you know, I get that gloves, you know, kind of quiet out some clapping, but you know, people were like sitting on their hands. It was that quiet. No one was cheering. No one was jeering. It was really, I mean, if you're the Bears, I think you feel it, especially when you got that, you know, silly, you know, pump us up video going on at Soldier Field.
Well, yeah, and we don't have the best access to the crowd noise in the press box. I mean, a lot of it's drowned out anyway, but we still know what to compare it to when it is loud. And there just wasn't a whole lot of energy in the building. And you know what? Quite frankly, I can't even blame the fans that much, because it was a sleepy game. There were so many missed opportunities early that the Bears didn't take advantage of, which is always going to take the crowd out of it when you're at home. And haven't they lost 8 out of 9 home games now, going back to last year?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, these fans haven't seen many wins.
No. And these are fans that play a lot of money, you know, for, you know, their seats, you know, their whatever that designation is, where you basically own your seat now at Soldier Field. Look, I mean, you know when it's getting rowdy at Soldier Field. I mean, we sit in the press box, we have those fans that sit right in front of us, and they're pounding right on the well, I don't know what you want to call it, like the steel that's behind their seats, which is right underneath the,
yeah, it's not annoying at all.
Yeah, right. But that's when you know that they're into it, when those dudes in front of us are making us miserable because they're pounding on the steel, you know, plates or whatever that's between us. But you're right. They haven't really had much to cheer about. And again, I go back to the pick six. That really drained a lot of momentum and a lot of good vibes out of that building.
Yeah, it did. No question. All right, let's dive into our favorite segment of the show. What does the fox say?
It's either a carnival after you win, or it's a crisis after you lose. What the fox say?
That was yesterday at House Hall. I assume Fox was kind of talking about the public reaction to wins and losses. And that's how it is in the NFL. You win, everyone loves you. You beat the Packers, you're going to the playoffs. Then you lose to the 49ers, and everything's in crisis mode. And but it's also reality, too. I mean, every game means so much. So that's why you get the reactions you do.
It's also week 13. This isn't like week 3 where you're willing to give them a free pass against the Cardinals because they're still learning everything under Fox and company. I mean, this is – You just beat the Packers on Thanksgiving night, gave your fans plenty of hope. You fed into the whole playoff atmosphere, right? I mean, players were talking about it, openly talking about it in the locker room. I mean, they were trying to – I get they were trying to maybe dismiss it and shrug it off a little bit, but it was there. It was a topic of discussion in the locker room, and they stunk it up against the 49ers, a team that, you know, was so good a couple of years ago but has tailspinned really into, you know, an abyss since. And, you know, they looked outmatched at certain times against the 49ers, and that's just not good.
Let's look at some of the headlines this week as we start to shift forward to the Washington Redskins that'll be coming to Soldier Field this week. It sounds like, and I know Antrell Roll went on the Score this morning and said that Antrell he would probably be back, so they could be getting him back into the secondary. That could help help things a little bit. I don't know that he's been that great, though, when he's played. I also don't think he's been that bad. But so maybe that's a little boost. I'm interested in the Kevin White thing. And there's been so much talk about being in the playoff hunt, not being in the playoff hunt. Would that affect the decision? I think it's been pretty clear that it's mainly been about the medical aspect the whole time, no matter what. And I don't really think the Bears losing to the 49ers affects anything whatsoever. If anything, and I wrote about this yesterday, it might make it easier to justify using a roster spot on him just so he can practice. I mean, if you're in the playoff hunt, you need all 53 spots. If you're not, you can live with a guy who's just practicing, kind of being on your roster and using up a spot.
I mean, and to be honest, I mean, you're talking about the 52 and 53 man spots on a roster. I mean, who are you really concerned about?
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, those spots change so much throughout the year. I mean, it's ridiculous. Guys coming from the practice squad, guys can sign off the practice squad, you know, guys getting released. I think DeMontre Hurst has been, you know, on and off the roster like four times this year. You know, it's just, I don't get it. I get that if you're in a playoff push, you want all valuable spots on a roster, but, you know, at the same time, I mean, they're willing to sit on a roster spot for Eddie Royal, who hasn't played in how long. So you could look at it that way. To me, this whole White situation, I don't think he plays against the Redskins. I think they're still going to side with caution. Maybe they do. Maybe activate him next week because, what, it's the 15th is the deadline.
Yeah, so it's Tuesday after – well, it's a week from today as we record this on a Tuesday. They have to make this decision on December 15th.
I tell you what, like 3 weeks ago, I was convinced that he wasn't going to play, you know, at all. You know, I thought for sure that he was going to be placed on IR at some point just because, you know, all the indications the Bears were giving, them being perfectly okay if he doesn't play this year. But then you speak to him, you see him on Soldier Field or at, you know, on the grass of Soldier Field running around catching passes from Justin Worley, you know, doing it at 3-4 speed, sometimes full speed, sometimes half speed, just different speeds and different moves, abrupt cuts. I mean, this is a kid who wants to come back and play, and I think the Bears, I'm starting to think the Bears just might allow him to.
Yeah, I agree. I think that before, when's the last game? January 3rd? Is that technically the date of the season finale against the Detroit Lions? I mean, by then, there's no doubt in my mind that he's going to be ready to play in a football game. I mean, right now, and you heard John Fox say it yesterday, that leg is healed. The actual fracture in that leg is good to go. I mean, he has a healthy leg. The issue now is, and there's a couple things. One is football shape, conditioning, getting back out there, because when you have a leg injury, you're not able to condition like you can still condition when you have an arm or something like that, upper body. So he needs to get back in the football shape, and he's never played in the NFL. So that, you know, that might be even tougher. It's a different level of play. And then also you talk about atrophy when you're not using a leg for so long. I thought it was very telling this week when we talked to Kevin White, and he said that, you know, he's got to get his leg just as strong as the other one. And so that's a part of this as well. But to me, another month, I guess a little bit less than a month, there's no question in my mind he's going to be ready to go to actually play in a football game. The question is, does that deadline impact anything? And is it worth it? I mean, I think it is. If he's cleared by doctors, then what's the harm? You trust your doctors to make that decision. Whether the Bears are out of it or they're not out of it, and they basically are at this point, get him some playing time. I mean, that's just the way I look at it.
Here's the thing, and I think you asked him about this, you know, in the corner of the locker room when we didn't meet with them that one time. The whole mental aspect of this, you know, him gaining trust in his leg again and feeling comfortable with what he's doing, because there is some fear. I mean, this is a guy who was off his leg, you know, for a long time. He's going through this rehab process. You know, he's unsure of himself. I mean, this is going to be a bad analogy, but when I broke my leg playing football, you know, in high school, I was in a cast, you know, for 3 months. And then when I got out of it, I wanted to hop around on my right leg because I didn't want to put my left foot on the ground because I was so worried about it being. But it was healed. I had to gain trust. You know, I had to rebuild the muscle and stuff like that. Look, I'm not Kevin White by any means, but I kind of get what he's going through. He's got to become comfortable with what he wants to do with it. And I think it's good to see him running around. It's good to see him making abrupt cuts, but then getting the physical contact of football back, you know, because he's going to be hit. He needs to get that first hit out of the way. And I'll just leave it with this. You know, it's better for him to get that first hit out of the way maybe this year, you know, whether it's week 16 or week 17. So going into the off season, you know, he could hit it full steam ahead, you know, without worrying, you know, having that mental anguish, you know, in his mind and having to deal with that, you know, maybe for the first preseason game or the first hits in camp. You know, he could really just go full steam ahead in the off season and be really ready for the 2016 campaign.
I think that's a fair point, too. Last thing on Kevin White. I was on with Ro Khan on WGN Radio on Monday, and he asked me this question, and it was, do you think the season or the Bears' record would be any different if they had Kevin White this year? And I think there's a good case to be made that maybe they win one or two of these close games that they have lost, especially when you consider the injuries that they have faced. I don't know that they win any of those first three games. I think the Bears were destined to go 0-3 to start anyway, especially if you throw in the Jay Cutler injury, which was going to be a factor anyway. Against the 49ers, though, I think if they had Kevin White, they win that football game. In fact, there's not really much of a question in my mind. I like I said earlier in the podcast, I thought they missed Marquise Wilson that game. So if you have Kevin White and his speed, and you know he's probably the guy you're throwing those bubble screens to, by the way, instead of Alshon Jeffrey, because to me that's Kevin White's game. Get him the ball in space and let him run with it. I saw him catch. And granted, what we get to see in practice is not a lot, but when he was going through individual drills last week, I remember him catching a pass when they were inside at the Walter Payton Center and just turning upfield. And the way he cut and took off, you could see right there that they don't have that kind of that specific skill set right now in their offense.
Oh, the speed of burst, absolutely. I mean, the attrition at receiver was very evident against the 49ers, and you could probably point to other games too that Alshon Jeffrey didn't play. You knew eventually he was going to catch up to the Bears, you know, when teams start scheming around to eliminate Alshon Jeffrey from your game plan, you know, make life harder on him, and you know, Martellus Bennett isn't 100%. I think absolutely, going back to Rose's question, if Kevin White was playing this season, I mean he'd be pretty good, I imagine, by this point in the year, that you know, he would probably help the Bears. One, in the red zone issues, which would probably help the Bears, you know, in the win-loss column.
All right, let's jump into this preview of the Bears and Redskins. A very, very similar situation to this past week against the 49ers. You have the Bears that are now 1-5 at home against the Redskins that have yet to win on the road. They're 0-5.
Bold predictions.
Man, I had trouble thinking of one.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I don't really know what is bold anymore about this Bears team, because they're really so unpredictable from week to week. But I'm going to say that they get back defensively on track with the decent stretch they had been on of only allowing one touchdown to the opposing offense. I think that they'll turn it around defensively this week. Respond to what was underwhelming, at least in my opinion. I realize that the Bears defense did a lot of good things against the 49ers, but they limit those big plays again. Those count. I mean, those big plays count. So overall, I don't think they played that well.
I mean, those were the longest pass and longest run on the Bears' defense this year.
Right. So that, I mean, you gotta include that. So just because they forced 7 3 and outs, which is a great stat. The big plays count, and overall, I didn't think it was a great performance. They allowed the 49ers' offense, the worst offense in the league, to score 3 touchdowns. Anyway, my bold prediction is they turn it around, and they only allow the Redskins to get in the end zone once.
Here's our Mark Potash reference for today.
Nice.
Since we missed it last week.
Yeah, we did.
He had a stat that the Bears are now one of 4 teams not to have defensive touchdown this year. You know, after the Jimmy Ward pick 6, the 49ers are off that list. So I think this is finally it for the defense, where they finally get in the end zone. I think it's going to be a linebacker. I don't know who.
Your guy number 50?
Nah, 50. Speaking of 50, you know, here's kind of a sub storyline. You know who's playing? Who just made his first start for the Washington Redskins? Mason Foster.
Yes, I didn't even know he was on their roster.
Yeah, and I think he recovered a fumble and may have forced a fumble, at least according to the Twitter happenings during, you know, the live tweets of the game. He seemed to be playing pretty well. I mean, he was beat out by Shane McClellan. Now, Shane McClellan, if you watch him, you know, in week 4 compared to now, I don't think he's nearly as mobile as he was, because I think that left knee is definitely slowing him up.
I agree.
I don't think he's going to be 100%. He did have a lot of tackles against the 49ers. Jonathan Anderson and Christian Jones were very unimpressive. So maybe, you know, the Bears should have kept Foster and paired him with McClellan and tried it out that way. But that's a sub-storyline. But I think the Bears' defense comes through with a play for 6 points, and it's going to be one of the linebackers, whether it's an outside guy, you know, with a strip fumble, you know, sack strip fumble, whatever, or interception by one of the guys over the middle. They finally get on the board defensively.
Predictions. All right, well, I'm going to not get crazy like I did last week and predict the Bears could actually blow somebody out. This team seems like they're destined to be in close games every single week. So I'm going to say that the Bears win 17-14.
17-14.
No. 17-13.
17-13. I have the Bears winning. I just turned this in 27-23. I don't know why I think they can put up that many points, because I just don't believe in the Redskins, and I think John Fox kind of lights a fire under their butts this week after what happened, you know, against the 49ers. I'm not confident in the pick, though, after what happened against the 49ers.
Me neither.
I don't know who's coming off a worse loss. I would have to say the 49ers or the Redskins, because they were in kind of a playoff hunt there, because the NFC East is so pathetic. I mean, they were in contention there for a playoff spot. So maybe it stings a little bit more because their playoff hopes were better than the Bears. Now they are winless on the road. Does that change? I like the Bears. I'm not confident with it. But, I mean, if they lose against the Redskins, I mean, this, instead of building, as the Bears like to build what they're doing, I think you can actually use the word rebuild again.
Yeah, I think that they're going to bounce back and find that edge that Kyle Long was kind of talking about yesterday. This team seems to prefer when their backs are against the wall and there's doubters around. For whatever reason, that motivates them. And we saw Kyle walk into that locker room in St. Louis, remember, when and accuse everyone of not picking them to win, although didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Yeah, so you were one of the guys that
he didn't pick up the Sun Times that morning. That's okay. But hey, everybody in Chicago picked the Bears over the 49ers.
Yeah.
Every writer.
Yep, and we were all wrong. So I do think the Bears bounce back, but I agree with you. I don't feel all that great about it. All right, let's dive into some Twitter questions as we close out this week's podcast. I'm going to amend this question a little bit, and it's another one of these beautiful, long Twitter handles that I love to read every week.
Is it inappropriate?
No, it's not. Although sometimes I feel like they're not, and then I start to read them, and I wonder if there's some hidden meaning that I'm reading out loud, and I just said something that I shouldn't have. You know, I just I don't think it is. It's A-Link 502010. Is that like a birthday? Why would that be? I don't know why that would be your Twitter handle. But we appreciate you listening to the podcast and sending along your Twitter questions. We're happy to answer them. Do you see Robbie Gould, Lamar Houston, Jermaine Bushrod, and Shane McClellan on the 2016 roster? I don't. And that was his I don't.
All four of them?
Well, I guess let's pick them apart one by one. Robbie Gould.
Yes, but I think they bring in some competition. And I don't think it should be a rookie in the offseason. Maybe some type of vet that gets released maybe in the offseason or, you know, isn't re-signed. I think that's just in the spirit of what Pace and Fox want to do. But with this whole Robbie Gould thing, I side with the, you know, be careful what you wish for.
I totally do, too.
You know, he's still one of the most accurate kickers, you know, in NFL history. Yes, he's going through one of his worst seasons, if not the worst season of his career. But, you know, you don't want to be one of these teams who have to trade for a kicker like the Pittsburgh Steelers or start rotating guys every single year. You don't want that.
Lamar Houston. By the way, I think Gold's still on the team next year, too. But I also wouldn't be surprised if that's a training camp storyline where following closely a competition.
Yeah, yeah. Lamar Houston. I don't know how you feel about him, Adam, but I think he's played pretty darn well over the past few weeks.
Yeah.
I think he was pretty impactful in some capacity against the 49ers, too. I think maybe Fangio has found kind of a role for him, a niche for him. I think him and Willie Young like playing each other, and they added Pernell McPhee to that mix on in the inside. So I'm going to say yes. I think you got to have some type of base to start with, and I think he's kind of earned it.
Yeah, I agree. I think I think that injury kind of held him back early, and I think he's playing a lot better. So I would say yes to him as well. Jermaine Bushrod.
Go for it.
I say no. I think that he's – you look at the back problems. I think it's admirable how he passed off his job to Charles Leno. I think playing less has allowed him to get on the field and contribute in these jumbo packages – but you don't pay your six offensive linemen as much money as he's making.
Right. You know, I think Charles Leno has kind of solidified himself for, you know, I don't know how long, but at least since 2016, I think he's been that good against some pretty good pass rushers. It's too bad, too, you know, because Jermaine Bushrod, again, we're talking about a consummate pro, but he was in this position several years ago with the Saints. This is how he became a pro bowler. He took over somebody's spot who was hurt and just never let it go. This is life in the NFL. You know, there's always somebody. There's always a couple somebodies behind you who want to take your spot.
And Shane McClellan.
Oh, you know where I stand on this.
I'm not convinced, though.
No?
I agree with everything you've said and written about him, and I think that they do like him, and he's filled in. But they didn't have any other options this year. And if... if you find a guy that you really like early in the draft, I think inside linebacker is still a huge area of need for this defense, both spots. And I think you can upgrade. I don't know that you pay a guy a whole bunch of money to replace him, but I'm very 50-50 on Shane McClellan being back here next year.
50-50 for number 50, huh?
Yeah.
I think he got to start somewhere, and I think the Bears, Vic Fangio in particular, has devoted so much time and effort making him a viable linebacker and the signal caller of this defense that you need to start somewhere for next year. You devoted so much time into him learning your defense, to learning the calls. Yes, you need to add somebody in free agency or the draft to compete with him. Yes, Fangio thinks he could be better. But my argument in this is just you got to start somewhere. You could get him on the cheap, bring him back maybe on a one-year deal, again, to prove it, and just go from there. But, yes, bring a couple guys in to compete with him, because what you did this offseason, even if Mason Foster has found new life in Washington, just wasn't good enough to really push McClellan.
All right, we're kind of low on time this week, so we'll sneak in one more here. It's from at JT Barsack. Does Kevin White play against the Vikings?
Play against the Vikings?
So not the Redskins, but the Vikings the following week, because that would be after the deadline.
Play. I think there's a good chance he could be on the roster at that point. Well, yeah, he would have to be, right? Because the deadline's then. I think he's on the roster. Now, what does he play? I'm going to say no. I think his first game's in Tampa Bay.
Okay.
Again, I think it's just all about getting him mentally ready and making very sure that everything's all right with that left leg. I think one more week of practice wouldn't hurt him in that case, and they'll get over those mental hurdles in the final 2 weeks. I'm going to say no to the Vikings.
Let me tell you this. I really, really badly wanted to make my bold prediction for this week that Kevin White was going to play.
That would be bold.
Against the Redskins. I thought about it, I analyzed it, and then I decided we just don't know enough to be able to make that kind of prediction. I did find it weird, though, and maybe I'm going down a dangerous path of trying to understand what John Fox is telling us, but against the Packers that week, he immediately ruled them out early in the week. Last week, he didn't. And I don't think Kevin White was ever in the mix to play against the 49ers, but just the way he treated it and sort of left it an open door on Friday to, we look at it, the 46 and who's active and who's not.
Mm-hmm.
He did more in practice last week. I think he does more this week. And so if the question is, does he play by the Vikings game? Again, we're guessing here, but I kind of think he might.
Wow. My interpretation of that Fox answer or non-answer he gave you is that he knows he's getting better. Like, he doesn't want to let us completely know it, but he kind of knows. We do know it because we see him. And, to see him on the field at Soldier Field doing all he did there for a good stretch, almost 30 minutes on the field, with Mike Groh watching on, he is getting close. Our listeners, our folks, listener, Bears fans, he is getting close. Maybe it is Minnesota. Maybe Adam's going to be right or Adam's going to be wrong.
we'll find out. Or maybe he'll just never be activated too.
Yeah.
We'll see. I guess the Bears have done a good job of keeping us in the dark.
They do.
Yeah. All right, we got to get out of here. Appreciate you listening, as always. Episode 19 of Intentional Grounding. A few more weeks to go in the season. Four more games. We'll be here with you throughout it all. Adam Hoge, Adam Johns. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Find us on iTunes by searching the Intentional Grounding, and go to SoundCloud.com/WGNRadioSports. To find us there. Producers Mike Jacobson, Adam, thank you. Talk to everybody next week.